Talking about beer shopping, trips to Cruz Blanca and Dovetail. We share our favorite beer of the week, and we dive into some of the news that's been happening in and around Chicago. All that more on this week's episode.
What did we do these last 3 weeks, Zoe? What'd you make it to?
Yeah, because, you know, you got a cork popped out, boom, and it flies like fucking 10 feet. We're like, yeah, let's do it.
The legend, Mr. Pete Crowley. I love Pete Crowley, man.
How's that beer? That's what you think it is.
It'll be like the stuff you hear. You ever go to every time you go to Floyd's, all the music sounds like this. Raw, raw, raw!
Hey, and welcome to Chicago Beer Pass. I'm Brad Chmielewski.
Brad, what's up, man? I'm Nick White.
And just us this week. Solo show, but not really a solo show because it's two of us.
There's us. Yeah. I mean, we still got us.
Right.
You know, who do we have last week? Chris Jacobson?
Yeah, Chris Jacobson. Dark Side event coming up at Emporium later this month. So everyone, make sure you get your tickets, get your tokens in there, and get ready for some big beers.
Yeah, a proper Sunday fun day. Chris is fun. I think he holds the record. I think we've had him on four times now. So.
Oh, man.
I think that's a high for us, right?
Okay, yeah, I think so. It's just going to be us. Drinking beer here, talking about our week. Kicking things off, we always talk about the beer we are drinking now. So this is the Mirrorball from Hop Butcher.
Hop Butcher for the world. One of my favorite reinventions because they were South Loop Brewing Company.
Okay.
Out with South Loop, in with Hop Butcher for the world. What is these? Tall boy cans?
Right.
7.5%. This is a little bit of the haze, Mosaic, Centennial, and Citra, double IPA.
Right. This is just a classic IPA. This is an haze IPA.
It's true. It's not very cloudy.
it's pretty solid. It's not like a punch in your face IPA or anything like that. It's kind of just a mellow, I guess.
Yeah. Nice and easy going. Citrus and floral and dank tropical.
Uh-huh. This was packaged just before Christmas, so mm-hmm.
So you're within you're within 120 days, which is what most stores.
Yeah, but still, for a IPA like that, I think we're probably a little pushing that a little bit. For a local IPA, we could do better.
That's true.
But still, you gotta try some of these. Check them out. I think I've had this for a couple weeks anyway, so it's really my fault.
Fuck, Brad.
It's my fault. Yeah.
We're trying to do a decent show here, Brad. You know,
but the other week we were talking about how prices of some of these Hop Butcher cans are kind of they're a little more expensive than some of the
it's,
other. Tall
it's
boys.
A little stiff. I mean, I noticed that they're brewing out at in Darien, which is where Miskatonic is.
Okay.
So maybe that's something that had to do with it. You know, you got to pay Miskatonic for their system, and then you got to charge for the beer.
Maybe.
Yeah, you would. Because I've noticed that too.
Yeah, so they seem like a couple more dollars or a couple bucks more.
Yeah, because you got guys like, the time is now for those four-pack tall boys to strike with the pricing, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I've been to Half Acre for some pretty serious pricing on their four-packs.
Right.
Yeah. And it seems, for me, I noticed that on that format in particular.
That it's kind of expensive?
Four-pack tall boys, cans. Okay. I mean, maybe I'm just cheap, but we're talking, you know, 16 to 18 bucks sometimes for a four-pack tall boy. I don't know. Maybe I'm old. It could just be me. I don't know.
Yeah, $10. I want that $10 six-pack.
This would be an excellent $10, $11 six-pack.
All right. Anyway, that kind of leads into this past week where we've been drinking. You mentioned Haymarket or Half Acre. Not a place we were drinking at.
No.
This week.
No.
Where were you at?
Man, I made a few stops. I was out at Three Floyds for some reason.
Okay.
You know, I see Snowstorm, and the first thing I think is, man, you know, if I go to Munster tonight, I have the whole place to myself, and that's what ended up happening.
You think? It's snowing. The roads are dangerous. I'm going to get out of
them. I'm going to live a little, and I'm going to go out to I'm going to go out to the village of Munster. It's probably a city, but whatever. They got to. But, you know, they have a water tower.
Yeah.
So it's got to be a city, right?
So is that a thing?
I don't know.
I think just a lot of Midwest places have water towers. So
I retract that.
I don't know if that defines a city, a village, a province.
I don't know why I'm fascinated with water towers, man. I know we talked about this last week a little bit.
Anyway, so what happened at Three Floyds?
Man,
were you there by yourself? Did you? Was it empty?
It was maybe like four or five people in there.
All right.
It was great actually. Got a table. I went with the classics, man. You know, that's one of the breweries that got me into beer. So I went Dreadnought. You know.
Okay.
I went. They had a Doppelbach on.
Okay.
And you know, I'm always down. It's weird, man. I go out there. Last time I was there, I had a lager. This time I'm getting a Doppelbach.
Yeah, I think we were talking. It might have been with Chris last week. You were like, when I go to Three Floyds, like, I'll go for that Pride and Joy.
It's weird.
Like, what are you doing?
It's weird, man. Yeah.
You're at the source. Give me your standard and cheapest, please.
I'm trying. As we're discussing this, I'm trying to find an explanation, and I can't. But yeah, man, because, you know, well, I like the I like those German hops. You know, I had this Doppelbach, you know. And, you know, it was like a spicy German hop in the back that I really like. On some, I guess some lagers like that. The Doppelbach was like that for me. I thought it was great. 7.5%. It was good. And then Dreadnought. Yeah. You know, the original double IPA that got me hooked.
Yeah, and to have it fresh there.
Yeah.
That's just a plus. Nice.
So.
What else? Check out then.
Oh, after the show with Chris, man, we went over to Dovetail.
Nice.
Yeah.
He'd never been.
And I think he's got some connect where he does some work with those guys. Mm-hmm. So,
and I kind of describe it as it's a beer place. Like, it's not like old man beer, but it's like classic beer styles. That
correct.
An old man might drink.
Yeah, you know, I actually went for the lager because that's their thing. Their lager is, you know, unfiltered Pilsner Urquell-esque.
Okay.
Where it's just like, wow, if every lager was this way, you know, craft brewers might not have made it much past lagers. You know what I mean? Like, instead of trying, like, big, dangerous styles.
Okay.
You know, they would have brewed more lagers if they tasted like this. I think their lager is really good. The lager was completely gone.
Really? Wow.
Yeah. So they had a Dunkel. I tried that. And I had something called the X01, which is their first offering in bottles. It's like a Rausch beer.
Oh, okay, nice.
It's somewhere between like a smoke beer and a Flanders Red.
Wow, that sounds weird.
It was a little too advanced for me, kind of just beyond what I was trying to taste.
That seems strange for a place that's known for their pills, their lager, their Dunkels, and you're like, here's this beer we haven't really done before, you haven't seen us for going in the market.
It's like a meld of sorts. You know, I could see what they're doing because it's like it's a perfect blend of the two, you know. Mm. Yeah, but I was more a fan of that Dunkel. That was a taproom thing, so I was a fan of that. But the XO was an interesting ride.
Oh, cool.
Okay. Yeah, but I'm more of like, give me a sample and I'm done with that one.
Nice.
So, but that's a fun place. Dog friendly, and really chill.
Okay.
Like a really chill bar. Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty nice. Let's see. Over the weekend, I didn't really make it to any places or new stops, but I did. I do a lot of my beer shopping over at Whole Foods or even at Trader Joe's just when we're grocery shopping. So I had to go over to Binny's because we were having people over, so I needed some more beer than you might want to get at Whole Foods, and it's usually a little cheaper. Man, going into Binny's, it's rough.
Like, dude, the options?
It is overwhelming. I came out. I think I had already picked up this Mirrorball a couple weeks ago, but I have enough beer for the next few weeks of episodes.
Oh wow.
Just because I'm like, I gotta try this one. Oh, Ailman? Let me see what they have to offer. Ravinia? Ravinia's in cans?
Oh man.
Let's try that.
Glad you brought a Ravinia.
Checking out, like I had to pick up some Bell's Hop Slam because I was like, I should get some Hop Slam, right? I don't always see it or I'm not always out. Now I have six cans of this super high alcohol IPA in my fridge that I'm gonna have to find time to drink and
just
not
skull
just
it, bro. Just out straight out the can, just shoot it.
But it's like it is crazy in there, and I only stuck to the Chicago Midwest aisle.
You were at Marcy,
so the flagship one, I guess. And I really just go until my basket's kind of full. I grabbed some Penrose, I grabbed the two packs of the Dino S'mores because they're super cute.
I love that two pack option. Yeah. That is cool.
I'll bring it on episode, and we'll probably record a video and pop open that Tupac. But it was like it was just cute. I was like, Maeve, look at this. It's hilarious.
Never seen a Tupac before.
No.
It's cool.
Seems like a little bit of waste, but it's kind of neat. Yeah. And then picked up some Haymarket. That was kind of like my standard, like, oh, if you guys don't want to try this random Ravinia brewery because you're coming over, there's always Haymarket.
Right on.
But yeah, man, it's just crazy. This is why I don't go in there very often, because I walk out $100 easy. Like, it's just like, oh, whoops.
Yeah. After Floyd's, we were hanging out at some bar. We didn't get anything to go from Floyd's. They didn't really. I kind of wanted a stout or a barley wine. They didn't really have either.
Okay.
So, but I'm hanging out. To your point, I'm hanging out at a liquor store down the street from Floyd's, and I'm in there for every bit of 20 minutes, just staring and contemplating the ifs, you know, on what to get.
You know?
Yeah. It's.
Because we talked with Chris, I believe it was off show, maybe it was on show, but we talked about, like, when we go, especially him, we go and try new beers. We're on this, like, hunt for, like, I want to see what else is out there. I want to see what you guys have to offer.
Yeah.
And then when you go into, a new liquor store, maybe you don't go to, or Binny's that has the endless supply of anything you could ever want, you're like, oh my gosh, my options, there's too many options. Where if I go to my normal liquor store, the place I always buy beer, I'm slowly working down the list of what they have or the shelf space. But yeah.
Yeah, lately I've been going to Beer Temple or Fishman's sometime during the week.
Mm-hmm.
And I just pick up the whatever is new from Saint Arant or Saint Arant, however you're saying that.
Okay.
And I'm like, that narrows it down for me. Because otherwise, I would hang out there.
Right.
You know, you chat it up, and if they're pouring, oh, there's going to be an hour before I get out of here. You know, if you like pouring stuff. So.
Yeah, I don't know what to do. I have the same problem when I go out of town. Like this week I'm going to San Francisco, and I know I'm going to have, like, I'm going to run into the, what should I drink? Like, I'm going to try new stuff, but then do I want to try some of those, like, old standards that I know are good in San Francisco.
Like, let me get this Anchor on tap.
Yeah, yeah, let me get a 21st Amendment while I'm here. I got to go to the brew pub, right? Or should I?
So Almanacs in San Francisco. That's the brew I was thinking of last week. Okay, Almanac, yeah. The sour guys, yeah. Decisions, man.
So many choices.
I mean, that's why it's cool that we got a platform like this and our other outlets, so we can just, hey, at least spotlight some beers.
Right.
So you have some sort of reference point when you're there, because it's a lot to deal with.
Sure. But that was my, main drinking experience this week. Did you make any other stops anywhere else?
Oh, man, I went to Cruz Blanca.
Oh, nice.
The Rick Bayless Brew Pub in West Loop, man. Yeah, my kid actually had, a violin concert over that way.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, I got 2 hours to burn. Let me go see what the Cruz Blanca guys are about.
You didn't want to stay as a concert?
No, this was pregame for my 8-year-old daughter's.
Like, he's got a. They're playing for like 2 hours. He won't even know I'm gone.
This was. That'd be horrible, man.
Dad, what do you think? You did great.
It was, you were the best. Were you? I love that viola you play. It's a viola, right? No. Something caught my eye online, man. It was it's called Mr. Worldwide. It was a barrel-aged imperial stout with pecans and ancho chilies. I went there for that.
Okay.
But that was out, so I tried a couple other things, man. The one thing that really caught my eye was, man, they had something that sounded really bizarre in the description. It was Marigold is what it's called, right? It's a strong ale with black raspberries and coffee, right? Brewed in the spirit of this Dia de los Muertos, right? The Day of the Dead, right?
Yeah.
But, man, I'm like, why are you putting – this sounds great, the strong ale with raspberries, but why are you putting coffee in it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But then it kind of reminded you of a really nice red wine, which I wasn't expecting.
Interesting. That sounds pretty good.
They got that really cute, here we go with the word cute now. Yeah. It's like, the Austrian hand-blown glassware that they have at Moody Tongue. They've got something similar there where it really just looks like a really classic handcrafted, champagne or wine glass.
Okay.
Yeah. They had that going on. So, just had a couple beers from Cruz Blanca, man.
Nice. Yeah, we haven't been over there in a long time. I do enjoy the food there. It's set up pretty nice. You can just kind of like grab what you want. You grab your beer. It's a really awesome place to hang out. And I think once it warms up, probably end up over there more often. And I know there's a lot of, with the Emporium over there, there's just so many new spots just to hang out. on Randolph.
Yeah, it's constantly changing, man. There's H Mart over there. It's like a Korean superstore place. Mm-hmm. There's even a chicken and waffles place over there now.
Oh, wow.
I mean, like, there's a lot going on. And the arcade. None of this. I haven't hit any of this stuff. So
that's cool.
Yeah.
All right. So that's it for your week?
That's all I did, man.
Well, we're talking about all this stuff we were drinking and doing. What about the best thing you drank this week?
Right on, man. And sometimes that gets overlooked, right?
Right.
I would say the best thing I had this week was from Hubbard's Cave. It's the sister project to the guys up in Niles. God, why am I drawing a blank? This is why I write shit down all the time.
Unani.
Thank you. Unani.
Yeah.
It's their clean beers, essentially, right?
Okay.
So, yeah, man, this beer, man, it was called, it was an Imperial Stout with lactose, vanilla, and raspberry.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, like a pot de creme is what they called it.
Okay.
Yeah, and it was tart and aggressive and desserty all the way through from the first sip. You didn't have to let it warm up or any of this stuff. I was just really caught off guard. You know, I was having a conversation about Microphone and some of their pub-only releases.
Uh-huh.
And that led to a conversation about Hubbard's Cave and Unani because Microphone, before Mike got that place in Elk Grove Village, one of his stops was at Unani. You know, like he brewed there for, I don't know, six months.
Oh, he did. I didn't realize that.
Something
okay.
like that. And that large format, that 750 bottle, he started doing that because Unani guys were doing that.
Okay.
And he's like, man, you know, Mike learned a thing or two from Hubbard's Cave, so you might want to try X. And I think it was the whole experience of it, you know, just like having the talk and then trying the beers. I got the vanilla stout, and then I got the creme de pot.
Okay.
But the creme de pot, I thought, was the more interesting of the two. Yeah, just because it was like unabashedly fucking, like, bitter. Like bitter fruit, like raspberry bitter fruit. But it was complemented nicely with those dessert notes. So
that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
For me, I think the best thing I drank this week was one of the beers I picked up when I was over at Binny's. It was the Penrose Sour 24.
Right on.
This was just a really excellent balanced sour. At the moment, thinking back on it, I can't remember like a lot of the flavors I got from it, but I hadn't had a sour beer in a while.
Yeah.
Just because they're often things you want to share with people. Or if you're at one of the breweries, you can kind of get a sample or a taster. But
yeah.
It's not always a bottle I pick up just to, you know, knock back one at home or after work or something.
Which I will do.
You will do. Okay.
I do like a nice sour.
So I won't often do that. I like sharing the sours with people because you open or you widen people's horizons in the beer. Like, oh, you didn't know this beer could do this. Even if they are sour fans, maybe they pull out something you didn't. So that was just a great beer, and I didn't realize Penrose was up to 24 on this series. I feel like I remember when they did, like, Sour 2.
Yeah.
I believe it was like a brewery-only release, so they did an event. But this one was in stores. The label is fantastically designed. It looks excellent.
Yeah.
And it was just a really good beer. It wasn't overly sour. It wasn't too tart. We were also drinking wine, mm-hmm. so it kind of like was a good transition back into beer.
Yeah,
then,
yeah.
So
they're almost an extension of each other at that point. Yeah. That's pretty cool. And I made a mistake. It's the Hubbard's Cave Imperial Stout Pot de Creme.
Okay.
I think I was calling it Creme de Pot. So sorry about that.
All right.
Yeah, chocolate and raspberry and an Imperial Stout. So
yeah, if you're in Chicago or and been in the suburbs, check out both of those beers. Best beers we drank this week. Cool.
Right on.
Well, that leads us into the events this week.
Yes.
What's coming up on the calendar?
Man, you know, actually, I just have a couple of Bourbon County events this week. I went to the store, and it looks like you can get...
Hold on, stop. Okay. All right, hold on. All right, go ahead.
Couple of events, both Bourbon County-centric events. You know, I stopped by the local store, and I noticed that Bourbon County Original is sky high. You know, there's pallets of it in the store still, so I guess it made, like, another round or something.
There's still... I was at Binny's again with the Binny's comment. They had barley wine and coffee still.
Man, coffee?
Yep.
I might grab a coffee.
Nick's going. Yeah. He has a problem. He's got a problem.
I might grab a coffee. Thursday, Stout Week at Muck's Pub downtown. A sneaky good Belgian pub right in the middle of the loop.
So dark in there.
And man, almost not quite inappropriately dark, but close.
I don't know if there's windows, right?
and there's no windows. And there's no windows. It's one of those spots where, like, peanut shells on the floor, the whole shebang.
Yeah, you leave and you're like, what day is it and where am I?
Right? Big wooden doors, like a cathedral or something, right? Or a monastery or something. It's a cool place. They're doing Stout Week this week on Thursday at like 2 p.m. They're going to have the full Bourbon County lineup 2017. Okay. And Sunday in Logan Square at Logan Bar, they're going to do the same thing. Theirs is the Bourbon County Bash. That's on the this February 11th.
Logan Bar?
Yeah. Logan Bar is right off the California stop. Blue Line, California. Okay. Around the corner from Rev. From the Rev Tap Room.
Okay, yeah, nice.
Like Cali and Milwaukee. Man, those are happening this week.
That's it for this week? Man, what's up with the calendar this week? I know coming up, if you want to get tickets, we mentioned Dark Side. That's coming up at Emporium later this month. Mm-hmm. On the 17th, so that's 2 weeks from now, is Sausage Fest at Haymarket.
Right on.
They're known for their sausages and their beer, so you can grab tickets for that. I went 1 year, and it was pretty fantastic. Like, not only the food, but then you could get to go through Haymarket beer lineup and everything, and it's just a great time.
Right on. Yeah, I've actually never been to Sausage Fest.
Okay, check it out. Cool. Anything else that on the calendar people should be looking out for, grabbing tickets?
Man, that's all I got, man.
Cool. All right, well, that kind of leads us into the final bit of Chicago Beer Pass this week is our news. I always like to wrap it up here with a little what's happening in Chicago and outside.
Right on, man. I just wanted to say cheers to Horseleaf Hollow down in Beverly. They had their first release in packaging recently. They had bottles of the Toasted French Oak Cinnamon Girl. That was their first release in either cans or bottles. It's an imperial stout with cinnamon, vanilla, and toasted on French Oak.
Nice.
So,
congrats.
There you go. Cheers to those guys. Ken Grossman, the founder of Sierra Nevada, he announced that he is donating $1 million to Butte Community College in Oroville, California. So this is an attempt to get free tuition for first-time college students, man.
Okay.
So if you're a second-time college student, you are shit out of luck.
Okay. So.
But that first-timer, though.
They can possibly benefit from this.
You know? So, and that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
You know? And Sierra Nevada is either the third or fourth largest brewery in the country. Monster brewery on both coasts now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Haymarket, we talked about Haymarket. They've got something called Palace for Puerto Rico going. So if you stop in and buy a pint of their brown ale that they made for the occasion, a dollar of that goes to this program where they're sending money down to Puerto Rico for hurricane victims.
Very good.
So good for them. The good folks at Spiteful Brewing, they have a Goddamn Delightful Day tickets went on sale.
What's that?
Goddamn Delightful Day is where they're releasing barrel-aged versions of some of their favorite stouts and barley wines. Hmm. So
that they made, they found.
That they made, not that other people made, that they make. So it's a $60 ticket. It includes 5 ounce pours of both the beers, barrel-aged Malevolence Chocolate Caliente, and that's a stout. And barrel-aged Belligerent Bob.
Cool.
Yeah, Belligerent Bob's really good. I didn't have the barrel-aged one, but yeah. Both of those took medals at FOBAP.
Okay.
Obviously the barrel-aged versions of those. Yeah. We were talking last week about rape beer and, you know, best beers in the state and all that kind of stuff for each state. I was actually more excited about barrel-aged Malevolence Chocolate Caliente than I was about, I think Bourbon County OG was the beer of the year. Best beer in Illinois.
Yeah.
So, there's that. Hmm. I think there's way more exciting beers than OG BCS, but
for sure, yeah. You know. That's the classic. It's like the standard at the moment. But
yeah, cool. The Illinois Craft Brewers Guild is getting together this week with the governor of Governor of Chicago, the governor of Illinois, man. So Governor Rauner is going to be at the Benny Jurette on Marcy.
Yeah.
This week on Thursday because it's Illinois' bicentennial, so they made a beer for the bicentennial.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, so 1818 Prairie State Farmhouse is what it's called. It's from Hand of Fate Brewing.
Nice.
I'm not sure where they're from.
I've heard of them before, but I haven't.
Yeah, I know the Guild's focus is Chicago Craft Beer Week is scrapped, and now it's Illinois Craft Beer Week.
Yeah.
And they've been focusing on the emphasis on getting breweries involved that are not in the immediate Chicagoland area.
For sure, yeah.
You know, bringing attention to Illinois tourism.
Include everyone, yeah.
All of Illinois.
Yeah.
Yeah, so this is a part of that. The first keg's tapping at 2:30 on Thursday.
I'm surprised the Rauner's coming to Chicago. He hates Chicago. He hates everyone in it.
Man, which is a total 360 from Rod Blagojevich, right? Because he never took office in the mansion down in Springfield. He like kept his place in like Ravenswood.
I think it was in Wrigleyville.
Wrigleyville, yeah. Wrigleyville.
I saw him running around one day, just running down the street.
He's like, he's the exact opposite. He's like, dude, I'm not living in fucking Springfield.
Yeah, Rauner. Rauner is not a fan of people in Chicago. So, yeah. But this is a cool project that the Illinois Craft Brewers Guild has done.
I like that. It's probably, you know, Hand of Fate is getting some shine. Mm-hmm. So good for them. 2:30 at the Flagship Benny's.
Nice.
Yeah. And finally in the news, the good folks at Twisted Hippo have announced that they have a new brewing space.
Oh, cool.
They will be the third or fourth brewery in that space. It's the old break room space.
Wait, what happened to Ravens?
They apparently
Ravinia.
Ravinia. You were talking about Ravinia, and that's what made me think about the story. Apparently, it didn't know details on why Ravinia is not doing it.
Where's Ravinia brewing at?
It's so weird because Ravinia is like nowhere near Chicago.
But the beer said brewed in Chicago.
What is going on here?
The cans that they there was at least two. There might have been three different beers. Mm-hmm. At Benny's when I picked it up. I grabbed the IPA. We'll probably drink it next week or the week after. It's right at Brewed in Chicago. So where is Ravinia?
These are fair questions.
What?
I do not have these shenanigans. I do not have the answer, man. You know? And I wonder what's going on with them. They were at Beer Hoptacular. We talked for a little bit, but you know, it was loud. There's a lot of booze involved. Kind of forgot what they said.
Okay.
But Twisted Hippo.
Where do they get the money to go into this?
No. Don't you worry about where they got the money, Brad Chmielewski.
No disrespect.
Who's paying for this?
No disrespect to Twisted Hippo.
Oh,
have you seen any of their beer anywhere? Besides events. I've had it at events. It's tasty. Like, I'm not going to deny that it's not good beer.
I had something called the Wooden Nickel, but you're right. It was at an event. It was their coffee beer.
Where are they getting the money to?
You're asking the wrong questions,
right? They got some deep pockets from somebody to take over
the
space.
I mean, this is an interesting, like, it's an interesting play because this was Break Room.
Break Room.
And then Break Room left.
And Finch took it over. Less like 6 months.
Yeah, less than 6 months. And then they announced that Ravinia was going to move in. Uh-huh. And apparently they're not. And now Twisted Hippo. So this is the fourth brewery associated to this building in Albany Park. It's actually a nice space. We took the brew bus there a couple times when it was Finch. Upstairs, downstairs, it overlooks.
Yeah, it's nice, but it's cursed.
I feel like there are some challenges with this space.
It's cursed.
Aesthetically, it looks good, but no one seems to, it doesn't seem to work there.
Right.
But, you know, still early. We'll see. I like those guys. We'll see how this turns out for them.
When are they supposed to go in? Are they just announced that they're
just coming soon is the general announcement.
Where were they brewing previously?
They were brewing down at Slapshot.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Slapshot down in Little Italy.
See that? That's tiny too.
Yeah.
I haven't seen Slapshot beer.
Yeah.
Anywhere? Not even at festivals. I'm sorry. It was like, I also Slapshot and Spiteful. Slapshot. I know they're friends, and I get confused by them, but
Slapshot closed their doors. I want to say last year. Yeah. At one point, you had all brewing at Slapshot. You had Microphone, Twisted Hippo, Rude Boy,
right,
and Bucket List, which is the Brewbus Brewery, all brewing at Slapshot at one point.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And didn't the Microphone guy brew at Breakside?
Yeah, he was the brewmaster.
Break room.
You're thinking of Breakside and Oregon.
In Oregon, right?
He was a brewmaster over both locations or both breweries. Sorry, because Microphone at the time didn't have a location.
Yeah.
So he was a brewmaster over both. But it, to be fair, it sounds like everybody that had issues with, well, this is weird, both Finch and Break Room, they all had issues with, like, there were like internal staff issues.
Okay.
Right. So, and that's what led to their demise. At least that's what was stated publicly.
Yeah.
On the first two.
I'm just saying, this is a big space for I think any brewery to take a hold of that's maybe not Revolution or Half Acre or Haymarket at this point. So the overhead on this is crazy, right?
Yeah, it's a neighborhood brewery, you know, Northwest Side. Mm-hmm. So we'll see. I mean, these guys, from what I know, like I remember we interviewed them when they were Rude Boy, and it was like, it was Rude Hippo. So Twisted Hippo had joined forces with Rude Boy, and they were called, and they had like this joint name.
Right, because they were just Twisted Hippo before, and then they Twisted Hippo, or Rude Hippo.
Right, so Twisted Hippo to Rude Hippo, and then when the couple split, you know, then it was back to Twisted Hippo. Yeah, so we talked to them back then, and they've always been Northside connected, so I mean, it makes sense for them, so. Hmm. We'll see.
Interesting. I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen here. I thought Ravinia was in there. I'm drinking their beer now. I was excited to go check out.
And what is this Ravinia thing? Because Ravinia is a music venue in Highland Park, Illinois, which is North Shore Burbs. So
maybe it's all a marketing ploy by the music fest, Ravinia, to get the name out there to people.
It would be cooler if Ravinia was actually brewing at the music fest, you know, like on the music grounds. Yeah, Twisted Hippo, those are the guys that you go to their place. I learned about them through Chef Juan Kim, and he's like, hey, I got some friends, you know, and they've got like 24 beers on tap at their house.
Right.
You need to come checking out. They were a staple in the underground circuit.
When he was doing the original brouhaha.
The original brouhaha before the radio stations hopped on it and named it the exact same thing.
Yeah, added another ha or something, right? Didn't they just add another ha?
We're just going to add another ha and have it at the place they have.
What are you going to do, Juan Kim?
Or Chef Juan Kim. Yeah. So we'll see. I root for these guys because they've got those homebrew roots, man.
Yeah, no, I don't. I don't. I'm not like not rooting for that. I don't want to feel like I'm like, I hope this doesn't work out. There's a lot of questions. I'm confused about what's happening with the space with Twisted Hippo and Ravinia.
I guess you look at it like, you know, hey, we're tired of hopping around, right?
The hippo's tired of hopping.
The hippo's like, fuck all this hopping, man. Let's just go all in, you know. It's we'll see. I believe in the whole if you build it, they will come thing.
Okay,
I believe in that. So,
nice.
We'll see.
All right. Well, we'll keep a lookout on this and hopefully report back on more of this development.
Yeah.
Cool. it's news, man.
It is news, man.
All right. That's going to do it for this episode of Chicago Beer Pass. Nick, where can people get in touch, reach out when we're not here?
Right on, man. I'm on Twitter at Nicosio.
And I'm on Twitter at BRad. Chicago Beer Pass is on Twitter at Chicago Beer Pass. Instagram, Facebook, website, chicagobeerpass.com. Everything's posted there. Links to iTunes, Stitcher, the YouTube version as well. And we'll be back next week with another episode.
Right on. Cheers.